In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Beloved in Christ, there are two categories of religion in this world. The religion of justice and the religion of mercy. The former emphasizes the work, the effort of the practitioner, but is quiet or nearly silent about the person and work of Christ. The latter places the work of Christ at the heart and center. The believer's works flow from faith in Christ's mercy. In this binary, it is impossible for someone who is singularly focused on justice to understand Christianity. Christianity, as the hymn you just sang, centers on mercy. And those who are obsessed with justice cannot understand how it is that we are so concerned about pure doctrine when there are starving children in Africa, or how we can gather together to discuss the clarity of Scripture when there are unbelievers walking the halls of our schools. They think that our religion is worthless, that we are hypocrites because we don't care about the things that they do in the way that they do. They have a point. The Spirit calls us to love our neighbor, to show mercy to the poor and the needy, to speak the truth in love. And no Christian living this side of glory can hear the charge, hypocrite, and not cringe a little bit in guilt. We don't do what we say we should do and what we want to do. We say one thing and we do another. Yet contrary to the judgment of the world, contrary to the judgmentalism of even those who call themselves our brethren, and even contrary to our own conscience at times, the Holy Scriptures declare that we, you who are baptized and believe in Christ, you are holy, you are righteous, you are innocent for Christ's sake. And that's not because we have pure hearts or that we have done enough good works. It is because God has forgiven all our sins by offering up his own Son as our substitute, as our ransom, as our atoning sacrifice. He declares you righteous, despite your imperfections and even your wickedness. You, the baptized to believe in Christ, who trust in his mercy, yet daily sin much, you are rightly called saints. You are the people of God. And it would be a terrible pity that we would forget this, or that we would be ashamed of this, ashamed to be called saints. For to forget this is to forget Christ, to forget his holy word, to forget holy baptism. And there is an irony here. Those who fear that they are hypocrites are saints. And those who cast the stones, who claim to hate hypocrisy in others, are not. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One went home justified. You, who are truly sinners, who know your sin, who deplore your wretched flesh, who feel its daily burden and weight, you ask for grace and you want to do better. And even though it accuses you, even though it condemns you, you love God's law. You see in it what is truly good and right and beautiful. God's perfect word and will is laid before your eyes, and you see his desire for you, his people, what you were meant to be. You don't simply shrug off the charge of hypocrite. It's a serious danger, one in which we are tempted constantly. But at the same time, while you don't want to be called sinner, don't shrink from that title, saint. To be both things at the same time is not the mark of the hypocrite, it's the mark of the Christian. a baptized, redeemed sinner who has simply not yet been transferred to glory. Here's the paradox. To be a Christian, you must believe two things at the same time. You must believe the law, which accuses you and calls you a sinner. You must also believe and trust in the gospel, which forgives all your sins, which alone comforts you and declares you saint. Now, the devil will try to tell you that the sins which you commit every day offend God, and therefore you are not a saint. The devil is a liar and a master of half-truths. Yes, you are filthy in your sins. Your conscience terrifies you. But even as a mother's love is stronger than the filth and scars and scabbiness and stink of the naughty child, so the love of God toward us is stronger than the dirt that still clings to us. We are sinners, but we do not thereby lose our filial relation on account of our filthiness. God is our Father, who has made his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be our brother, that we might live by his Spirit. Unless we let our sins rule over us and give in to them, we are not hypocrites. So long as you hate your sins and desire to be free of them, you may receive this declaration of saint. But the devil likes theology. Sadly, more so than some who call themselves Christians. He is masterful at rightly dividing, but wrongly applying God's law and God's gospel. And he will tell you that the Holy Spirit does not dwell where there are habitual sins. And boy, have you got them. He will tell you that the Bible teaches that Christians progress and grow in their sanctification, but you are growing worse in sin. Again, he twists the truth. Half-truths and lies. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The devil is worried about glorifying himself. The devil is worried about countering and upending what the Spirit of truth says by the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit comes and gives the kingdom of God away to sinners by the Word. That he who glorified the Son in his crucifixion, where he was lifted up from the world, continues to glorify the Son through the preaching of his cross, by which he calls sinners to himself and delivers to them the kingdom for free. This is the good and perfect gift of the Son's righteousness, which comes down from the Father of lights. The Holy Spirit is a kind of Robin Hood. For the Father, not the devil, offers up the Son. The Holy Spirit, who drove Christ to the desert for temptation, kills him, robs him on the cross, takes what is his, and takes what is the Father's, and he gives it to you. He declares it. He preaches it to you through the Word. Do you believe this? Yes? Then you are not a hypocrite. You are a Christian. Beloved, you are growing in sanctification. Part of that growth is increasing awareness of and sorrow over your sins. And while you can't look into the hearts of men, and you can't really even completely look into your own heart, Christ can. He looks into the hearts, into the minds of men, and he sees yours. And by his Spirit, he not only convicts you, he comforts you. He preaches his law to show you your desperate need for a Savior. And then he comforts you with his sweet gospel, forgiving all your sins in Christ's shed blood. Sanctification, dear Christians, isn't quantifiable the way bricks and pennies are. Rather, it works this way. The Christian mind and heart says, I believe and I cling to him who is in heaven as my Savior, my advocate. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And if I fall into sin, I will rise again by his grace and mercy. I don't continue in my sin with immunity. I live by his grace and mercy. Sin doesn't rule over me. By his grace, through his word and sacraments, I rise up. I become the enemy of sin. I hate my sin. I renounce my sin. I ask again for mercy. And I come as a child, filthy and guilty and naughty. With tears in my eyes, I have done again what my mother told me not to do. And I come to her trusting that she will still love me, wash me, kiss my wounds. I trust that Christ sends his Spirit into my heart, into my mind by his word to comfort me, to defend me when my conscience assails me. The Christian faith differs from all other religions in this way. The Christian hopes, even in the midst of evil, and even in the midst of his own sins, the Christian lives by faith in the mercy of Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, natural man cannot do this. That's what you sang in the hymn. He can only seek refuge in his works. To say, I am a child of God, or to say, I am holy, I am a saint of God, because of Christ, it's not arrogant. It's not arrogant any more than saying, I'm an American, is arrogant. For the Christian, this is not hypocrisy. It is poverty of spirit. It is faith. It is trust. And you can't see your faith or all of your good works. You can't see the growth, the strengthening of faith and love. But you can't see the Holy Spirit either. You hear him. He is a preacher. He takes what belongs to Christ and the Father and he preaches it to you. And you live by his word. You trust in his promises. Not all that is real is visible. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and he will preach it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and preach it to you. Dear Christians, there is something to sing about this Cantate Sunday. Alleluia, Christ is risen.